I like how that song just ends. It's just over all of a sudden. A very abrupt ending. I hope people's necks are okay. Without how quickly that song was over. It was sort of like we ran out of stuff to sing about. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know me, I'm a comedian by trade, and I know Amy. I've known for a long time through a nightclub in Los Angeles called Largo, where have you been there? Have you actually been there? Have you been to the new place? People don't like the new place. But it was a bunch of comedians and musicians that would all kind of know each other and play with each other in different shows and stuff like that. And this is around the time of the movie Magnolia, in which I have a very, very, sure, Oscar nominated. Also Oscar losing film. Nominated is another way of saying losing. But that's when I met Amy, and because we were both involved in that movie. Amy's involvement is a little more recognizable than my involvement in the film. Because I don't think when I walked out here, anybody in this room said, the guy from Magnolia. My voice is in the film. And how I came to be in that movie was the director, Paul Thomas Anderson, was friends with Amy, started coming around to Largo, got to know everybody. And one day said to me, hey, I got this movie I'm working on. I want you to play a little part in it. There's a bunch of different parts. You know, we'll figure out which one you're right for. And I said, sure. And inwardly I'm saying, I'll believe that when I see it. Because show business has taught me that everyone is a liar. So some time goes by, and then he says, hey, look, we're having a table read for that movie. Why don't you come over to my house, and we'll read through a few parts, and we'll see which one's right for you, and then it'll be fun. And I said, okay. So I go to his gigantic house for this table read. And as soon as I walk in, he says, did you get the script? And I said, no. And he said, oh. And I said, is that a problem? He goes, well, it's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there. And then he hands me a script, which is, if you haven't seen the film Magnolia, it's not a short movie. He hands me a script that is like the size of the phone book, right? And so I'm reading 12 different parts, and I have to frantically go through the script and circle all the different parts that I'm playing. And that's difficult because it is like a phone book. Imagine if everybody in the phone book started talking to each other. That's what it was like, right? So I have to go through, find these things, and as I'm doing it, frantically circling, the table starts, this big table, people start to sit down, I'm not paying any attention, I'm just circling. And then finally there's one seat left open next to me. It's the only other seat left. And in that seat sits Tom Cruise, right? Like I finish circling and look up like, what the? Now, look, if I saw Tom Cruise walking down the street, I would probably go, oh, look, there's Tom Cruise. Who cares, right? It's weird when he sits right next to you. I don't care who you are. You're not prepared for that to happen in any way. Like, I look up and it's Tom Cruise. Like, what am I going to say? Hi, the most famous person in the world. I'm Paul. So we start reading through the script, and in my circling, I have missed a few names, and I find this out when there would be a moment of dead silence, and then the director would go, it's you, it's you. So then, like the fourth or fifth time this happens, and I'm mortified, right? I'm mortified. Tom Cruise goes, come on, man, you gotta pick it up. Do I need this from you? Look, we'd all like to be in a cult and become wildly successful. But some of us haven't taken the classes yet. All right? Don't pick on the little guy. I'm still covered with Thetans. So I'm like, I'm embarrassed, and I get out of there, and I'm like, oh, I hope I don't do anything wrong on the actual set of the movie, right? Now, what happens is, I'm on the phone. I play this guy named Chad, who's a phone operator, and I'm talking to Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's playing the nurse of Jason Robards, who is dying. And so it's this three-way call where he's talking to me and another operator trying to find Tom Cruise, right, while Jason Robards is dying, he's in the throes of cancer and all this stuff. So it's this heavy, heavy, heavy scene. And so Paul wanted us all to actually be on the phone with each other, like literally on the phone. So I have to go on the day that they're shooting Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's running around. I have to go be there in another room in this crazy mansion out in the middle of nowhere in California. And so I'm there on the set, and Paul Thomas Anderson gathers everybody in the kitchen of this actual house, somebody's real house, and he's telling us what's going to happen. And I am freaking out internally because, look, I'm not supposed to be in movies. I know that, right? Like, I know that a mistake has been made on the part of this director, and he doesn't know what he's doing. And everybody else is very comfortable, and I'm standing there, like, I don't even know what to do with my arms or hands. Like, how does my body go again? I don't know what to do. I'm so nervous that I'm going to get yelled at. My greatest fear of all time is that as an adult, I will be yelled at and be in trouble, right? So as I'm, like, just kind of fidgeting and stuff, there's this table in front of me, a kitchen table, and I decide I'll just lean on this table. Maybe that will calm me down. And it's one of those tables where it's just a tabletop on top of a base, right? So I lean on it, and the other end flips up, and it's like, whoa! And then everybody goes, whoa! And I'm mortified, and then a guy from the crew who's standing opposite Duff here, I'm so comfortable here. It's like, hey, let's not forget this is supposed to be fun, guys. Woo! I'm messing up tables and stuff. Let's go out there and pretend. So now I'm standing there like, well, this is it. This is it. This is where the whole movie goes off the rails because I have upended this table. And now everyone will stop thinking about this major motion picture they have to produce. And they'll be thinking about, oh, that guy with the table. So we do the scene, and it's fine. I don't, like, screw it up or anything, because I come from the school of acting that is you go, then I go, right? So I realize all I have to do is just say my thing when he says his thing and not yell out curse words or racial slurs because I'm so out of my mind with anxiety that I'm going to develop an on-the-spot Tourette's. So I get through it, and then I have to go be on the phone for the other person in the scene, and then I do that. And then finally it's time for me to be on camera. And now all along, Paul had said it's very important that you guys actually be around each other. You got to actually be on the phone. So when I get there for my camera time, I'm looking around for the other actors. Like, where's Mary? Oh, she's not here. I'm going to just read this off the script. All right, and where's Philip Seymour Hoffman? He's in New York. He's going to call on the phone. Wait, why? I could have done that, maybe, perhaps, and maybe not had the worst mental breakdown of my life in that kitchen. Would that have been an option that I could have literally phoned it in? So I do. That was my first indication that the role of Chad might not be quite so beefy in the final cut of the film. So I do it. And it's fine, and then some time goes by, the movie's about to come out, and I'm at Largo, and I'm about to do a show, and I'm waiting to go on. I'm right by the stage, waiting to go on. And Paul Thomas Anderson suddenly appears, and he goes, hey, I just came by to tell you in person, I had to cut you out of the movie. And I was like, I understand, I appreciate you telling me. And then he goes, and I'm not gonna stay, so have a good show. He didn't need to tell me that part, right? There's still such a thing as lying, isn't there? It's like, look, I might leave the very second you are done because I absolutely want to see you perform and then go. So if you don't see me, it's because I've watched your entire set and then left right away before you got off the stage. So essentially what he was saying to me was, oh, by the way, I have also cut you out of my evening. So then he says, I'll make it up to you. And a little time goes by and he says, hey, I'm making this movie. There will be blood. I want you to play a small part in it. And I'm like, okay, I know how this goes now. So how soon will I be cut out of it? So he says, you get to do a scene opposite Daniel Day-Lewis. And I'm grateful that enough time has passed that I am now of a level of emotional maturity that I'm not going to kill myself at the prospect of being in a movie. I'm excited about it. This is going to be great. And so I get there and I meet Daniel Day-Lewis. And he's kind of an intense dude, right? I don't know if you've heard much about this guy, but he's a little on the intense side. He's like half in and half out of character the whole time. And I'd heard a story before I got there that there was an actor who originally played the preacher in that movie, had a lot of scenes opposite him. The guy either got fired or quit because he was too freaked out by Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't know what this guy's career plan was. Like, as long as I never act opposite anybody good, there's, I'll make a nice living. So I could sort of see it because the guy is like super intense. And I started to think of him as a wild animal, right? That had wandered into the set because he started making this noise between takes. He would just sit there in this chair by himself and he'd make this feral sound like, and it was terrifying. So being around him was like, maybe if I'm just perfectly still, he won't tear my throat out with his face. Maybe his peripheral vision is not so good. And he'd only see me if I move. So my part in the movie is, spoiler alert, there's a meeting in the movie. And Daniel Day-Lewis is at this meeting, and you see the scene starts with a close-up of him, and then there's this out-of-focus, peach-colored blob in the background. That's me. So then another spoiler alert, the meeting does not go well. He stalks out of the meeting, runs out in the street, and I follow after him, and you get to see the back of my head chasing after him, trying to beg him to stay at the meeting. Final spoiler alert, he does not stay. So it's just a few lines, right? I chase after him, please, Mr. Plainview, please stay, blah, blah, blah. So as we're going along, take after take, Mr. Day-Lewis, seized by the spirit of Thespis, starts cutting me off quicker and quicker, shortening my part in the process. A tiny part now being rendered minuscule by the great actor. So when the movie finally comes out, I am so barely in it, it is hilarious. Like the fact that they put my name in at the end tickled me. But then the weird thing happened that I started getting calls from friends of mine after the movie came out. Hey, Paul, you were awesome in There Will Be Blood. Great job, man. Paul, I just saw There Will Be Blood. You kicked ass. That was incredible. To the point where I was like, are these guys making fun of me? I know how little I am in this movie. And I started to feel like a kid at a fire wearing a plastic fire helmet that people would come up, you help too. But ladies and gentlemen, let's bring Amy Mann back to the stage. Amy Mann.
You're listening to Amy Mann, the Christmas show live at the Keswick Theater on 88.5 XPN and from NPR Music.
Are you going to sing some songs? Are they songs that people will know?
I'm going to sing a Christmas song that people will know and then one that they might not know.
People like songs they know, right?
Yeah. They may be out of luck the second song.
Can I take a look?
Yeah, it's the first one is I'll Be Home for Christmas.
People know that, right? And then, I'll Be Home for Christmas, classic.
The second song is a song that my lovely husband, Michael Penn, wrote called Christmas Time.
A number of people know that. Good. I think you're going to be fine.
Good. Well, that makes me feel better.